I think it's 9:14.
We are currently live on Santa Cruz Way's Facebook page.
Currently, this very second?
Yeah.
Oh, we're live. Yeah. You keep doing this to me.
What do you mean if you do
it? Because I'm like just socializing. You're like, we're
let's
live.
Let's not bring up last night.
He was just talking about Neil. Do you want to repeat
that? Yeah. I'll talk about last night. Last night?
No, it's not bring up last night.
Okay, we're not going to talk about last night.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, apparently, I was drinking whiskey before the show.
You were. Yeah. Somehow, about halfway through the show, it just
went sideways.
Kicked in like a...
Poor Kristen Brown.
She was a trooper. She's great.
She was fine.
She was great. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Off Lip Radio Show. We're live from the Santa Cruz Boardroom, right here in Pleasure Point, Santa
Cruz, California. We used to have chairs and shit. Now we got
We get these VIPs in here. We got to make them stand up.
I'm good. I was just sitting down all the way from Sacramento. I am good to stand up.
He just drove. I would like to introduce John Laird back to the show. Our honorable senator. Running the state of California, your triumphs and accolades a huge list, and we're going to talk about it.
Nobody gets more shit done than him.
You've gotten some gigantic things done. A while ago, you were retired.
It didn't last.
It didn't last, yeah.
It wasn't real. I'm failing retirement.
You suck at it, huh?
Yeah.
Is it because there's more to do? Is that what
there's you? More to do. I'm at the top of my game. And, you know, I lost my mother since I saw you. She was 99.
Wow.
And she said to me at some point, you term out? You'll still be retired for 22 or 23 years if you live as long as I do. And I thought, well, that's interesting.
My grandmother, she, in England, when you make it to 100, you get a telegram from the Queen. Remember the old telegram?
And I know about that because everybody wondered if she did it to her mother when her mother turned 100.
Sadly, my grandmother died when she was 99. Didn't cross the line.
99 is a good run.
Good run. 99 is a good run.
No, it's a great run. Yeah. And it's like, I did a tribute to my mother on the Senate floor. And when you looked, I mean, she grew up in Dust Bowl Depression era South Dakota.
Right.
And there were these stories of they would see the dust clouds coming and her mother would wet sheets and hang them over the windows. And after a while, you'd see the outline of dust in the windowsill.
Oh, wow.
And, you know.
Do you run the Senate floor? Are you like Bill Walsh or Chuck? Those old
drawing
NFL
up the place?
Coaches.
I'm sorry. In politics, it's to appear not to be running it while running it. That is the way you try to do it. No, we have other leaders. We have people that do things, but it's earlier this week we had Black History Month, and they always have representatives of different caucuses speak. And suddenly, the head of the gay caucus is looking around. She says, "We don't have a speaker." And I said, "Oh, really? You gave me no warning." And so, but I threw up my mic, and I ended up. And it's interesting because one of the very younger senators said to me, "You've been at a lot of things." And I said, "You just live long enough." And we had had a bill in a hearing that morning with regard to sort of getting to apologize for slavery and this stuff. And in it's I was talking about the fact that, and you never understand that you might be part of history or trend. So I'm in elementary school, and we can see the African-American neighborhood. It is four or five houses away from our play yard, but it's in another school line. They drew it so that the black kids were mostly somewhere else.
In their own school.
Yeah, and we had one. And he ended up, he and I were friends. We went to summer camp. He ended up being one of the members of the, I don't know if you call it a soul group or Confunction, which was top of the charts in the 80s and 90s. They're still playing. And it was like, so he just, no matter what those barriers were, he crashed through.
Right.
And when I was in high school, the Civil Rights Act had passed 3 or 4 years before, but I grew up in Vallejo. And there were two Elks clubs. There was the Elks club that didn't discriminate and the Elks club that did. So the Elks club that didn't was 100% white. And that did discriminate, the one that didn't was 98% African American.
Right.
And I won their speech contest years in high school. And it, I remember thinking, well, this is odd. How do you allow this stuff? You know, and so you just have those different experiences in it, even though we're still fighting it now in major ways. It's like, it's, and we were talking about the Outer Banks.
We're going to talk about that, yeah.
Well, no, the weird thing about that is that I thought, I am ancestrally immune from slavery. I mean, I had two great-grandfathers and a great-great-grandfather that fought for the Union and units in Indiana and Ohio, and I've researched their whole record and all stuff. But when you go back to the 1700s in the Outer Banks, there aren't records of women. Occasionally they'll say the wife in a property record.
Really?
And a lot of the marriage records are lost. And I was able to discover who one ancestor was because she was named in her father's will
wow.
as the wife of something, and she was left a slave
wow.
in the will. And I was like, oh.
No.
I thought no. I was... clear, but it is a statement of just sort of where we were and what happened.
You know, I remember going to the Elks, and I was trying to join in, like, 1990, and they actually, a question was...
You in?
No, but like, one of the questions was, like, do you have black friends?
Yeah, right. You're kidding.
No, and I was like, huh, check. You know, like, yes. I didn't get in. Didn't work
Why?
Out.
Why? Because you said you have black
Well, they had a pool, and they had, like, 50-cent hot dogs. I was like, I want to be a part of this.
I'm amazed that wasn't something that could have been litigated.
Well, time. Yeah, I'm sure like, it didn't last long, but that was on the membership.
Are you running for re-election?
Yes.
I haven't seen one damn sign have your name on it. Do you not
I don't know why. Do well, you clearly don't drive in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
If you go in this one block on King Street, we're good. We're really
That's
good.
It?
You know,
all
no,
the photos.
They're in
you
Washington.
Spend the least amount of money on signs.
No,
per
well, the interesting thing is that I have had two previous Senate races, and we have saved them. We have a friend. I have a friend in Zanny that has a big barn. And so we have all these 4x8s, and we just go up, and we'll probably have to just, this is my last Senate race, we'll probably just have to.
100-yard radius of your house, and that's it?
No, it's, for example, I was very pleased. I was in Hollister at an event, because now San Benito, Hollister, San Juan Bautista is moving into the district. And I was driving out of Hollister, and there was one. By the side of the highway really? In somebody's front yard.
Wow.
A big one, so it was good.
That's cool.
When I contact Bill to have you come on the show, how does that conversation go? Does it Bill go,
oh, again?
Those assholes want me back.
I just always text back and say, I'm good, let's set it up.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, but it's I have a full-time scheduler, and the scheduler, because the political stuff is part of the schedule. She is allowed to schedule me because she's balancing it with all the official things.
Yeah.
And we feed in. And that person does lots of things.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to fill out all these disclosure forms, and I just filled out the annual one where I have to disclose any potential gift, where my income is from.
So you're merged four socks tonight?
You got to keep poking.
You're below the. You are below the gift limit.
Okay.
You are below the gift limit. The other thing is, if you ever give me a beautiful book, I got a beautiful thing on the history of Westcliff Drive from the group that's trying to do it. It's educational material.
Educational material.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you do. You will leave with wax and socks tonight. So we'll make sure. So how's the race going?
It's going really well, and it's interesting because the Senate, I think I told you my Joe Biden story when I was here last time, but the Senate districts in California are larger than any legislative district in the United States because we're almost 40 million people, 40 senators. There's almost 1 million people in the Senate, and Congress in California, it's 750,000 people in a district. We are bigger than a congressional district. So when I met Biden at the Watsonville Airport after last year's disasters, you know, there were about 10 of us, and he spent a couple of minutes individual with each of us. And I walked up and thanked him. I said, thank you for coming here. We just got whacked. We need your help. We appreciate it. But you might not know that a California Senate district is bigger than a congressional district here by 250,000 people. I represent 1 million people.
You do?
Yeah. Wow. And he pauses, and he says, "That's as big as Delaware." I thought, yes, he's paying attention. He's paying attention.
Yeah.
You know, it was really good. And but everything switches with the census every 10 years. So I, this year, am gaining 300,000 new constituents and losing 300,000 constituents. In the Senate, I was elected to the old
district. So do you do anything around that? That means you have to go deal with that as far as I'm losing you, I'm gaining you. Do you have to go sell yourself? Or?
Yeah, the only mail that I'm doing in the primary is I'm mailing to every regular voter that's, I think, a Democrat and nonpartisan in the new area.
Okay.
So what's the new area?
It's all of San Benito County, so it's Hollister, San Juan Bautista.
Yeah, like there, yeah.
And it's Salinas in the Salinas Valley. And I already have, the district picks up south of King City all across the county. That's why I have Barkfield. Mm-hmm. And then I now have all of San Luis Obispo. And so I will get those coming in, and then I will lose everything I have in Santa Clara County. Because I have part of San Jose at Morgan Hill and Gilroy. And I will lose the southern 18% of San Luis Obispo.
But did you gain Santa Clara? Wasn't that a recent acquisition?
I actually had a similar part of it when I was in the assembly from 2002 to 2008. But it's recent into the districts with Santa Cruz and Monterey.
Hmm.
Does
that make it more difficult to try to do your job?
It's funny you should say that because there's 21 now. There's 21 cities in the district, all or part. And the only part is San Jose. There's about 100,000 people in San Jose. And it has been the hardest part represent because they don't, they're in this big urban area.
Mm-hmm.
They have no idea that at the southern, the northern tip, there's this place, the Seven Trees neighborhood. It's where the Oak Grove School District is. And the Oak Grove, it's disadvantaged, like overwhelmingly Latino. And so three Latino school board members get elected and they're all LGBT. And I think, well, I'm going to call them up.
Yeah.
So I call each one up, and they're like, "Who? Who are you?
Yeah.
What?" And yet, in all the other 20 cities,
yeah,
it is really a defined community. There's a school, there's a mayor, there's like a newspaper in a lot of them. There's just a genuine community that you get into.
My question, he probably knows the answers, but I don't. But Panetta was here, Jimmy was here last Friday, and you talked about this, you guys are in the same area, like same footprint as he's in. What's the difference between state senator and congressman that he is? Do you guys tackle the same problems? Or
they did the congressional redistricting really ripped him out of a lot of this district.
Yeah.
And you see, when I was in the assembly, it was sort of Monterey, Santa Cruz, San Benito were all in two assembly districts. And if it was heavily Latino, it was in the Eastern Senate District.
Okay.
And if it was heavily white,
yeah,
it was in the coastal.
Okay.
And so what happened is that Watsonville was in the Eastern District and Santa Cruz and Morgan Hill and Big Sur were connected by about a 2-mile strip.
Yeah.
On the Pajaro River to the west of Highway 1.
Yeah. Mm.
And then because there's Toro Park down Highway 68 when you head towards Salinas, and it's just outside the Salinas city limits, it was mostly suburban, mostly white.
Yeah.
So that was with the coastal district. That wasn't true with the congressional district. Now it flipped. So I just have the entire Central Coast.
Yeah.
And he has the coastal area. And so he has northern San Luis Obispo now.
Yeah.
He's in Atascadero. Right. And then he comes up Big Sur.
Yeah.
Comes up Big Sur as the Monterey Peninsula. He skips around
Watsonville.
Pajaro. Has all of Santa Cruz County that's not Watsonville. And then he goes over and has all this part of San Jose that is, I mean, Santa Clara that's into San Jose. And so we flipped in many ways between the two redistrictings. I essentially have his old congressional district plus San Luis Obispo County.
In your opinion, does that hurt? Because I know, like, in Jimmy's case, like when Pajaro flooded, he was such an advocate and tried so hard for leadership, funding, recovery, and then he's gone. But does that make it hard to
We support? Were lucky that Zoe Lofgren had been in Congress for 28 years, and she knew what she was doing.
Right. She's a pro.
Yeah. So with Jimmy, she stepped in. And you see, Robert Rivas and I work in complete partnership. So when I got back, and it was in 2021, one of the reasons that flood project hadn't moved ahead to replace the levees was that it requires federal money, state money, and local money. And that's a disadvantaged area. They were going to have trouble coming up with the tens of millions of dollars. So I did a bill with Robert at my side. He wasn't speaker yet. And for the first time in California, we got the state to buy out the local share.
Wow.
So the state is putting up the full state and local share. And then you need to have maintenance, which is a much less cost. Yeah. That allowed the local voters to vote to fund the maintenance. So Jimmy brought in the federal money. Robert and I got it. So it was just the state and got that money done. And then the voters did it. It was a year ago, October, we had a celebration on the levee saying, this is fully funded. It's long overdue. And I made the mistake. I jinxed it. I said at that ceremony in the levee, hope to God it doesn't rain
before we can
get
day.
This built. And then it did. But you see, the thing is everything sort of shifted in the middle of some of that congressionally. And the reason for the congressional one was similar to the one I was describing about the old assembly one. Now, even though Zoe Lofgren lives in San Jose and goes to south of San Ardo, that is an overwhelmingly Latin district.
Yeah.
And whenever she decides to retire, there's a better than even chance that somebody that is a Latino Democrat will win that seat.
Is your biggest accomplishment to this day the reopening of Watsonville Hospital?
In my Santa time, it is just far and away.
I mean, I had somebody who was looking for a hospital to take this friend of mine, and that was the last place. It was open, and it was the last place he could be helicoptered to was there. Everything else in the Bay Area, the beds were full.
Well,
I thought about you because I'm like, you know what?
That was one, and I explained it on a previous show.
Yeah.
If you look at it, it's like I did a bill in 19 days. It normally 6 or 7 months, 19 days to create the hospital district. The hospital district was days old, just days old. It hadn't even elected the board, hadn't formally constituted itself when the bankruptcy court accepted the bid to buy the hospital.
Yeah.
And then we had 6 months to raise $65 million, and we did.
Yeah.
And there's a ballot measure on Tuesday coming up, Measure N in Watsonville, which would do a parcel tax for the hospital and it would allow them to buy the building because they don't own the building.
They
that
don't.
Was owned by somebody related to the hedge fund that used to own it. And then they can expand the emergency room and have urgent care. They can expand some of the other services. They will no longer pay $3 million a year for rent. So that will upright the budget.
Yeah.
And that will be the final step that uprights the hospital.
Cool.
So
it'll be there for a long time.
Yeah, we will have
measure
done
in.
It. Yeah, and the thing is that you spoke of Bill Maxfield. He just looked at me because Robert and I, even both of us, gave $10,000 from our campaign fund to that bond campaign in Watsonville because that is the
that
important thing. It is that important. Mm-hmm. That we can get that done, we're there.
Yeah. And what's the vibe? Does it look like that's going to
happen? Yeah, the trouble, it's not a trouble. There's no organized opposition, but it takes 2/3.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just do enough people turn out, do enough people do it.
Right.
That's what
right.
was important to run a campaign, and they've really been running a campaign. So,
wow, that's amazing.
So that's Measure 9.
Measure N.
Measure N. Excuse me. Measure N in Watsonville.
Yeah, you got to be in the district. So it's northern Monterey County. It's sort of Corralitos, Freedom, Watsonville.
So if you want your hospital there, you're going to
vote. You better vote for Measure N.
If you want your hospital, you better vote for Measure
N. Hey, I raced at Ocean Speedway. And when somebody gets hurt, that's where they go, you know? And where do they go? I mean, you're dragging the Dominican? I don't even know.
Well, no, I think that That it's funny. There's a couple of places where I've had more issues per capita since I've been back. Watsonville is one, because we had the levees, we had the hospital, we have a bunch of school issues that are there. And Big Sur, where, jeez, mm-hmm. there's oh. more stuff that goes on in Big Sur. They're
trying so hard to keep that highway open.
Yeah.
And it keeps falling in the ocean.
Is there other stuff going on in Big Sur that we don't know about?
Well, they don't. They're trying to get a permanent place for the fire station in the south. They rival Parkfield in the fact that they have one of the smallest enrollments in a school district in the state in Pacific Valley. There's 17 students in a K through 12.
17?
Yeah. Wow. And the state wanted to completely recertify them every year. And I finally got it delegated to the local schools so that they don't have to do that.
Yeah.
Hmm. Because if you, the five high school students, it is, I think, a 3-hour round trip to Carmel Valley.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a 2-hour round trip to San Luis Obispo. So yeah. why would you do that?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
when they're all in one class, they're getting an outstanding education.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting amazing education.
Yeah.
A lucky education.
So you get involved, and there's, of course, there was another, thank you. Mm-hmm. There was another.
Make sure check this out, vodka. You never know what TC's going to get. You never know what TC's going
to get. And he gets to keep the glass. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. You got a Bordrum glass?
Yeah.
Oh, that is cool. That is cool.
I think we're above his budget, though. Is get the guest limit?
He's okay.
They're individual gifts.
Oh, you're all individual.
There's another interesting story. When I was resources secretary for Jerry Brown, it's when that bridge fell in Big Sur.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a very interesting story that I don't think has been fully reported, because it was after that really rainy season. And there was a homeless person living under the bridge. And he comes out and finds somebody and says, you might want to look down here, and the supports are moving. And it's funny, because I was being given a tour by, I think, the state parks person or somebody down there. And they said, we will see him. He will be walking around. And one time they said, that's him. And he was just walking down by the side of the highway.
Yeah.
And so that happened in the middle of a state park. And suddenly, because it was out at the south, 41 miles of Big Sur was cut off. And so it was a question of what to do. And the community proposed a trail through the state park. And the state parks were not enthusiastic. And it was one of those where I sort of had a conversation with the state parks director and said, you know, we're going to have to do this. And you've probably got 2 or 3 days to figure out how you thought of it. So,
because they had to do something over the creek too, right?
What it was is you could drive a car to the northernmost part of the 41 miles to where the bridge was out. And then you could hike, I don't know, it was a mile. I hiked it when it first opened. It was a mile or a mile and a half, and it was up and down. And I hiked it the day before it opened, and it was really muddy. And I was thinking, this is one of those times where I'm just going to see my feet go up in the air.
Yeah.
As I go down.
Yeah.
And I said, you're really going to bring a busload or two of kids on this every day? They said, it won't be this wet all the time. And so what happened is they would collect the kids in Big Sur. They would drive them to this outage. They would hike the trail. Bus would meet them on the other side and drive them to schools in Carmel Valley.
Oh,
they'd go to school for the day, and then they would come back and do it in reverse.
Wow.
And the interesting story.
They spent 2 hours a day on the road.
Yeah, but they got an education.
Wow.
You know, and the other thing was that was really interesting is there was a person then that I knew that was involved in the Big Sur Health Clinic. And I can't remember the number, but she said, this is anecdotal, but there were, I think, 3 kids that were sort of overweight and pre-diabetic. And by the time that was done, that disappeared. They were in good shape because they just had not been required to do exercise.
Right.
You know, and they were just hiking on this trail every day to get to school.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's common.
That's pretty funny.
Like, Kenyans became such great runners.
That's the hard thing to describe. You've been really good about guiding this unguided missile tonight, because if you talk about Watsonville Hospital, the Pajaro Levee, getting that trail done so that you could do it. I mean, if you're on your game and doing your job, those are the things you're trying to do when you're. And the interesting thing was is that here State Parks wasn't enthusiastic at first. And we go to the ceremony to open the bridge, and the State Parks regional guy says, I've never been cheered like this before. I mean, people are happy. And I said, and Caltrans, even though I, you know, they do amazing stuff, but they have their moments in community relations. On that, they were amazing. They did that bridge, I think, in 6 months. They ordered the steel before the plans were final. They just, like, knocked it to get it done. And then I was with the Caltrans director at the time, who I knew at the ceremony, and he wasn't going to tell the story. And I'm like, what are you doing? This is, like, one of the best things you guys have ever done. Tell the story. Tell the story. Yeah, you know, and he got a little into it because people need to know that if there's a crisis – and people's livelihoods and everything's at stake, that somebody's really doing the stuff for them.
Yeah. That's crazy because earlier you said you have a million constituents. And sometimes your biggest problems are dealing with dozens of constituents. And it's good to hear that those people are heard.
Yeah.
You know, and with you. Because they're, I guess, would be easily overlooked to take care of the hundreds of thousands that are clustered together.
You obviously have to do them both. And I mean, the other side is after the storms last year. I mean, I was so excited. There were some things I was going to work on last year. And we took this vacation because the year before had been so wild with Diablo Canyon and the auditor choice and Watsonville Hospital and all these bills and all this stuff that we went to Kauai. You know, my spouse was like, really, we're going for 3 weeks? And I said, we're going for 3 weeks. Because it was like we had worked our asses off that year. And we are driving in from the San Jose airport at night on whatever it is, December 29th or 30th. And it sort of rains as we start to hit the summit. And that was the start.
Yeah.
And so it's great that I had a vacation.
In the fire.
You're well rested for it.
Well, yeah, because it was, I think, I was at 22 storm damage sites in about 2 weeks or 2.5 weeks, and it was unbelievable. And I think San Luis Obispo County, except for the five-year-old that was swept away in the river, that was a real statewide story, they just got no coverage. Mm-hmm. And I just had this thing happen where one of the things, I was down there in the middle of an atmospheric river, and it was very funny because I get down to King City and cars are starting to hydroplane and it's been raining the whole way. And I was sort of with my staff, really, don't make me go in the dark. And I think I did the first hour in the dark and then the sun's starting to come up there. And they call me when I'm in King City and they said, if you haven't left yet, don't come.
Right.
And I said, I'm sorry, I'm really committed. Right. I'm almost there.
Yeah.
And so I did 8 things and it's like a Tascadero. There was water in Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
In Templeton, the Salinas River overtopped sewage ponds. In Templeton, it was also, there was a heavy stream flowing through a residential neighborhood that was just on the street and it was really heavy. In Paso Robles, the river was flooding so bad that they had this incredible thing for evacuating the homeless that were living on the riverbed. And in San Luis, the Marsh Street Bridge closed. Morro Bay, it was into Holmes. It was into Holmes and Los Osos. And the thing, and we went to Pismo Beach where the waves had been so big it was starting to crack the cliffs. And there was this iconic bench that was about to go over. And all this stuff happened. And I was so surprised at how close it was to the Holmes. The street was, it's not like Westcliff. Westcliff, there's a little space. There's lawn. There's other stuff. I mean, these homes were right up on the street and the cliffs were going on the other side of the street. And I thought, this isn't, not comfortable over time, but Arroyo Grande had this creek that overflowed, and we had this just horrific experience. We were standing and talking to this couple, and in the background, you just see the kids' toys floating in the living room, and they had this horrible thing where he went out, and they could see it just coming over the banks, and he pulled the generator cord, and the rope broke. And he came back, and the kids were getting ready to school, and he says, just grab what you can, and we're out. And it was in their house within a couple of minutes, and they were crying. It was just so hard.
Yeah.
And so I went back to the same place a few weeks ago, and you went down a couple of blocks, and there was a thing where they channeled the creek more. It had more depth. They cleared it on the side. It was holding in the early storms. And I said, let's walk down and see that family. And so I walked down, and there's no house there anymore. There was just the foundation. That house did not survive.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
It was just, yeah, I so felt sad. So bad yeah. for them, yeah, you know. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And so it's when it came to the budget last year, we didn't think we were going to get any asked for members because there was a deficit. And then the governor wanted these things, so we exacted it. So, you know, there was a levee notched outside of Arroyo Grande. That stream downstream to Oceano. We got things for the Morro Bay flooding. Carmel River, it was into homes, and we got planning money there. We got things for the displaced people in Pajaro, money for Westcliff, money for Capitola, both in the recovery.
Yeah.
And then that bridge, while it's structurally sound, it took a hit. The Stockton Avenue Bridge got some money for the Stockton Avenue Bridge. And it was like just making sure that we were just getting people some help as this was happening. And that's what you really should be doing.
I was talking about the bridge last night, wasn't I?
You were.
Yeah.
Now, you were a bridge salesman last
bridge
night.
Bridge salesman. Yeah. I was selling him a new bridge.
But I got to say...
Well, just a second. You need to sell a new bridge for one reason.
Because that one's used. That one,
he's talking about the trestle.
Oh, no, I'm not. Yeah. You're talking about the trestle.
Yeah, he's talking about that.
No, I'm talking about the bridge that goes right to the Esplanade. And the thing is that there's three. They arched the one in Soquel a little, and there's the one in Highway 1 coming into Santa Cruz, but when I'd been on the city council 6 weeks.
Santa Cruz City Council?
Yeah, when the storm of 82 hit. And if anybody was around SoCal Bridge, there were these redwood trees that were coming down the river at the top, and it was a foot and a half from flooding into Santa Cruz, and they knocked that bridge down. They knocked two of the lanes down.
Yeah.
And so the thing about it is those four bridges, whatever it is, Water Street,
SoCal,
and
River,
yeah, and
Branch Avoid.
There's four of those bridges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and the thing is that they all were pretty straight across.
Right,
and so over the next 10 years, those bridges were arched.
Yeah.
So that you could have those floods and not do that. But what wasn't, the first one at Caltrans at Highway 1 and in the atmospheric rivers, they closed it for 2 days while they had a crane removing the debris, and then they couldn't keep up with it. It went back into the Tannery Arts Center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Well, that's true of Soquel.
Village.
And while that one slightly arched in 82 and then debris gets caught, and mobile homes go and stuff like that, and that one was mudded out there. And then the Stockton Avenue Bridge is like that. And I was talking to one official in Capitola, and they said, we've known that for a long time, but it's such an iconic bridge, and it's such a historic thing that nobody really wants to deal with that. They want to leave it there.
Yeah.
But over time, that is not a good thing. And so Caltrans, with the state road funding, makes you compete against highway widening and any other regular road project if you want to do that. So last year, they finally have $1 billion for what they call resiliency projects to try to deal with that. And I, at the hearing, I said, this is really good. This is progress. I could use it all in my district, and there's 39 other districts. You know, this is not going to stretch as far as because there's that Highway 37 that goes from Vallejo to Nevada around the north end of the bay. And it already, twice in the last 5 years, has been underwater in some places and closed for 6 weeks.
That was the old Blood Alley. Yeah. They finally put a center divider
down. No, I know. I grew up in Vallejo. That was a serious thing.
Yeah.
And the thing is that It will be $1 billion to $2 billion if they're doing causeways or they're lifting it up or whatever it is. And that's just one highway. Mm-hmm. You've got some in the Delta. You've got things around here. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be a big challenge.
It's interesting you say that, Stockton Bridge, because I have a business in Capitola Village. And that bridge is my nemesis. That's the one.
Isn't it not protecting your business?
Well, no. We're protected from the ocean by the restaurants. But if the bridge clogs up, that floods my business, the creek overflowing. Mm-hmm. And last year, they actually had city workers hanging on a cable with chainsaws down there. It was the most incredible thing. Literally, they're like guys with chainsaws getting lowered down to try to clear the log jam
while
there.
It's flowing.
Because like, that's what you have to do to save that area. And it's climate change, right? I mean, we're a lot of this, what we're talking about.
Well,
is,
last year, one of my big bills that was unsung is now the Coastal Commission, for every local general plan for a city and county over the next 10 years when they re-up it, they have to have a sea level rise plan as part of it. And the bill also included the San Francisco Bay Area. So with the Bay Conservation Development Corp, whatever it is, BC Commission, BCDC, they have to do it in their plans because, you know, all three airports, Oakland, San Francisco, and San Jose, are at bay level.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have to do something over the next 20 or 30 years or they're going to be underwater.
Yeah.
And some places like Foster City, it's already with the king tides getting into Corte Madera.
Oh, terrible.
People have to do that. And it's not a easy discussion because people are going to have to give up property or retreat from property in some places because you can't. One of the things that helped me a lot when I was on the city councils, there was this big debate about Westcliff and seawalls and other stuff. And Gary Griggs at the Long Marine Lab and the Marine Sciences Program has he has two different things he says. He says, Mother Nature always wins.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of them.
Yep.
Whatever you want. Mother Nature always wins.
Oh, yeah.
And the other one that he used a lot was Mother Nature bats last. I had a meeting with some very disgruntled homeowners in Pismo Beach a few weeks ago because they want to build seawalls, and the Coastal Commission is saying,
nope.
Yeah, because, you know, the one in Monterey, when you go into Delray Oaks, it's there it is. It protects the hotel, but it redirects the water to whoever is not fortunate enough to have a seawall. And that's what seawalls do. And it's not unlike the harbor, Santa Cruz Harbor, where when it went out, suddenly the beach that had no sand has a lot of sand, and vice versa, because you're just interfering with nature's natural flows. So it's like, you know, and that's real. And it's really hard, though. I, as much as I wanted to, it was really hard to be definitively clear with those homeowners. Like, this is a losing proposition. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to sort of be that direct. I wanted them to figure out how to get there on their own with me laying out the facts. You know, but it's like, it's tough.
There's going to be a lot more of that in the future. I mean,
yes.
What's going on?
Senior moment, right?
Senior moment?
Senior question.
Yeah, okay.
Right? Georgia?
Sure.
Okay, so here we go. So you've been a politician, a lifelong politician, correct?
Well,
we asked our
but he was the seventh grade class.
We like to ask our senior guests, which is a lot of them lately, not all, your favorite decade and why?
You see, the thing about it is there's great decades for completely different reasons.
Okay.
I would just say the 60s was amazing. It was
every time. You had fun?
I was coming of age. I graduated from, somebody just said, we were talking informally at the Senate retreat, and I said, well, it wasn't a year like 1968. That was the, that was the year that Martin Luther King was killed, Kennedy was killed. It's the year I moved away from home. All these things coalesced, and it and you just never knew what was going to happen. And everything was alive.
Right.
Everything mattered. You were, making a difference. And there have been certain times in our history, and this is one right now, where you're not sure how it's going to end. when you think we could really go off a cliff here. Yeah. And in 68, there were still all the
68.
Riots in right. cities. And it, you know, I was mentioning off a camera earlier that we have these.
You're looking at all your gifts over there. You were looking at.
Yeah, what a stack. Apparently taking the cash register. The thing is that we have these remembrances. You do Martin Luther King Day, Black History Month, Latino Awards, Gay Pride, all this stuff. And all the different members stand up. And it makes me crazy sometimes because people just have what I refer to pablum as responses. Oh, this is very important. We love the civil rights. Happy to speak. And I try to think of things
yeah.
that are stories or make the point. So yeah. last year, I think it was Martin Luther King Day. There's this story about Bobby Kennedy where the night that Martin Luther King was killed, he was scheduled to give a speech on the street in the African American neighborhood in Indianapolis. And his staff said, this, like, don't do it. He went. And he had to tell them, because that was not the time of cable news or anything right. else, he had to tell them that Martin Luther King had been shot. And then from his heart, he did one of the best extemporaneous speeches in modern political history of saying, I too lost my brother. I lost him out of hate. And can I let that govern me? You know, and it was just, I barely got through it.
Right.
I decided, okay, I'm going to read Bobby Kennedy's speech for Martin Luther King Day.
Right, right.
And then the tagline is that night, almost every urban area that was big in the United States caught fire. Yeah. Indianapolis was at peace.
Really?
Nothing happened that night in Indianapolis. And so it is really, you... But the thing about it is you asked a decade. There were some awful things that happened in that day. But there was my friend from high school that had to be dragged off the stage from trying to get to the Beatles at the Cow Palace. You know, it's like, I remember loving that, watching on TV. Wow, there's Jane and Cherry. You know, and everybody was alive. That was my first political campaign.
Last question for the panel?
I know that you probably want to thank a few people who have helped with this election process, and maybe that you could mention a few names that have been there along.
Lordy Martin's going to get one.
Oh, yeah. Lordy Martin will be there.
And she's my connection.
Well, you know, the other thing, and Bill Maxfield is amazing, but there's just, it's really hard because there's a whole host of people. If you just look at the totality of it, I'm always fond of saying, politics is a team sport, and that it's very rare when you hear somebody say, I did this and I did this. It's you did it with other people. And for me, the list is just exponentially long. We were talking about Dan Hafley and offshore oil. There are just so many. There's a candidate over in the Santa Clara Valley who I know very well who has an ad where he says, I enshrined abortion rights in the state constitution, and I was watching it on TV, and you know, my spouse is always says, they can't hear you. And talk back.
You did it!
Yeah, and I said, really? You did that by yourself? Because it was put on the ballot by the legislature, 120 people voted on it, the governor signed it, millions of people voted for it. Hey, that was not by yourself. You didn't do that alone, you know? And so, and that's the hard thing. It's tricky to...
Well, it seems like you just summed up what's wrong in politics in that little short story of people who just want to take credit when credit shouldn't be given to them.
Do you see?
It's a team deal. You know?
My final question to you, Ms. Senator Laird, is what is your favorite Marianne's ice cream flavor?
Oh.
I have no idea anymore.
Do you have a favorite
I used to be a regular, but I haven't been in a long time.
But when
I was hopeless. I was traditional. I was a chocolate chip guy.
Chocolate chip guy?
Yeah.
Okay. I like mint and chip. Like anything with mint and chip.
Who mentioned the other day here was our guest, Lonnie Faulkner. She said something in tequila, remember?
Oh,
tequila,
yeah.
Wow.
Wild
well,
flavors.
Well, no, I think if you're in your first campaign, you don't even want the raspberry.
Well, so the message is, go vote on Tuesday.
I think you and I should have a conversation.
We've supported one person in all the politicians that we've spoken to, which has been the majority of them all. Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about our previous endorsements?
Our only endorsement has been for Gail Pellerin.
And she paid you off with a certificate.
She did?
She did.
Well! And I said, he hung on the wall, and Jimmy's here last Friday. I go, Jimmy,
look at that.
Is that thing worth anything? He's like, no.
No, he was wrong. He should have said, not until mine is right up next.
Well, we're waiting for Jimmy's.
We would like to show our support for all your hard work you've done over the years. And not that it's much, but, you know.
We're endorsing?
We are endorsing.
Mr. Laird, we're endorsing you for this one, and we don't do that.
No, we don't do that.
And the reason why is your history is amazing. I feel like you have putting your heart into this, and you've done some really great things for our community.
But I think you get shit done.
You do.
And you get shit done that gets done, not just talking about it, and I'm going to deal with homeless and blah, blah, blah.
What's funny, because one of the things, and I didn't realize it till I'd been Secretary of Natural Resources for a few years.
Yeah.
You have all these, I had 19,000 people in the agency, and you'd have all these people in, and I would find myself in meetings during the day saying, how do we get to the end? Yeah. You know, it'd be a great process, but how do we get to the end? Because you have to do things.
Do you remember that movie of Robert Redford when he became president?
Oh, yes.
Remember
his next
final line? Remember it goes, what do I do now? I think that was his line. What do we do now?
No, the great thing is I told you that I worked for a member of Congress my first 2 years out of college. He has a cameo in that movie.
And that movie was a great movie. Yeah. It was a good movie, yeah.
It was a great movie.
Yeah.
Well, you know. Vote.
Yes.
Most important thing.
If you want to complain, what'd you say, CC?
If you don't vote, you can't complain.
Right. Don't.
And so my most important message to everybody watching is go vote. Your vote counts, and it will be counted, and it's a good process, and please do it. And
make a plan. That's the way we say it.
Look at
now,
your
make
wife
a
chirping
plan.
In here. Look at this. Your wife's chirping.
My wife's chirping in?
Your wife's chirping. John rocks.
Wow!
Hey!
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, that's great.
Thank you.
All right. Well,
thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming back.
We'll have you back.
I'll be back again.
Yeah, I know.
You're a good man. I hope you don't retire.
Not for 5 years. The voters will.
Here's another one. Laird, yes. Laird is a champion for Santa Cruz Metro and Smart Local 0023.
There we go.
They were the first union that endorsed me when I ran for the city council.
Yeah.
A very long time ago.
Wow. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in tonight. We appreciate that. Again, I will say, please vote.
Next week?
Next week?
Yes.
No. I was going to make a joke.
You're welcome to make a joke.
Yeah, if you're voting for Trump, vote Wednesday. but other than that, Tuesday at 8 o'clock, they have to receive your ballot by Tuesday at 8 o'clock.
I love that. Okay, good night, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Neil, we'll be back on Tuesday with?
Who's coming this week?
Remember
I told you?
Justin Cummins.
Oh, good.
I love it. Justin's a great guy. So tune in next week, you guys. Have a great weekend. Please vote, and we'll see you soon on the Off Lip Radio Show.